Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here today. Getaway Friday, June the 19th, 2026. 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. And we are joined this hour by one of the legendary, most legendary, if not the most legendary, hip-hop group of all time. They've been performing since 1979, well over 45 years, and entertaining crowds all across the country and the world for that matter. And guess what? They are going to be in Detroit, just up the road, Detroit, Michigan, this coming Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Aretha Franklin Amphitheater for Father's Day, a show you're not going to want to miss. Get tickets for that big show. What a great gift for Dad that would be. And if you happen to miss that, can't make that on Father's Day, they're going to be right here in Marion at our beautiful 1,400-seat Palace Theater on May the 7th, 2027, next spring. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones the legendary Sugar Hill Gang, represented today by Hen Dog and DJ T Dynasty. Good morning, men. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Doing very well. What's it like to be up in Detroit around Father's Day, Sunday?
Oh, we love Detroit, man. Detroit's a beautiful city, and we always, you know, have fun when we go there. The crowd really loves us, and you know, and Dynasty, I'll let you take it from there.
Oh, man. You know, we've been coming to Detroit for so many years, and the response is always beautiful. You know, it's a great city, and I see that it's doing a lot of rebuilding and a lot of things. So we're always jacked and ready to come to Detroit. Let's go.
Hey,
Father's Day too. You can't beat it.
No, you can't.
Yeah,
what a great gift for Dad this would be. Hen Dog, tell me what people will see if they come to the show on Sunday.
Oh man, they're gonna see 100% action, 100% giving it all that we got. You know, the best thing about it, man, is that, you know, people always evaluate us when we come to the show. They see us and, you know, and they see that we're not jumping all over the wall. We're not asking for the room to be painted a certain color or, you know, we're not divas at all. So we've been all over the world, you know what I mean, doing our thing. So then they start doing the math in their head. They say, okay, the song came out in 79, so these guys look like they're moving kind of slow. I mean, how much gas still got in the tank? And then we get out there, man, and after the show, we say, oh, you guys were great. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's so much. Where y'all get all that energy from? I mean, you know, and they little do they know that the energy comes from the crowd.
Yes, love.
Hey, DJ, who are the current members of the group?
The current members of the group are Master G, G O'Brien, Henry, Hen Dog Williams, Vashon, the Ethiopian King, and myself, P Dynasty.
Now, this
unfortunately, Wonder Mike can no longer travel with us due to health concerns.
Right.
What is it like working with this particular group? What is the chemistry like with this group?
Oh man, we're family, man. I mean, you know, we you know, Dynasty and myself have been with the group over 35 years, so it don't get it. You know, we came to the Sugar Hill Records as producers and songwriters, and we still producers and songwriters, and went from there from being from the group. So, you know, it's a family, man, family affair.
You know, since the beginning, you know, when they started and they reformed, Henry and I have been a part of the group, and it's been always a beautiful effort. Leland Robinson, who is now the head of the Robinson family and the protector of Sugar Hill Gang and the name and the label. He's made sure to make a concise effort to make sure that we move as a family, we move as a unit, and we take care of each other. It's a beautiful thing, man.
Hen Dog, what is it like to go on the stage? As you say, you've been doing this for many decades now. When it's time to go out on the stage, is it still a kick?
It really is, Scott. I'm gonna refer. I keep referring back to a 60 Minutes interview that I saw maybe a couple of years ago with Bruce Springsteen, and they asked Bruce. They said, "Bruce, say you're a millionaire. Maybe I'm not trying to count your money, but you're a millionaire probably 10 times over. So why do you still do it?" And you know what his answer was? His answer was, there's no other high in the world that's bigger than being on stage and having the energy from the people coming at you. There's no better feeling in the world, man.
You're taking a person on a trip back to their childhood or wherever they were.
Right.
Heard it, whether it was in person, in school or in college, or at their grandmother's house, people will tell us all over the world where they first were, when they first heard that song and how it impacted them, and you could feel the energy from the crowd. And then afterward, when we go out and meet the people and we talk to the people, when they start telling you, like, oh man, what this did to me, and it brought me back. That's what the trip is about. That's what the whole experience is about, for you to relive that moment and you to feel the way you felt when that song came out and that energy.
No doubt about it. I mean, it never stops, man. Every time we go out to perform, somebody always comes up to us and tells us how Rapper's Delight affected their lives. I mean, it's a beautiful feeling, man, to know that music and a particular song can have an effect on someone's life.
Well, and what is so interesting about that song, and I want to make sure to mention this, Rapper's Delight is the first rap single to become a top 40 hit on the Billboard Hot 100 when it premiered in 1979. First one to ever do that. That is history. That song, I've never seen it performed by anybody, let alone you guys, where it didn't get people motivated. What is it about that song, which is now 47 years old?
It changed history. Every genre in music is different, and Rapper's Delight was the first time anyone ever heard rapping on record that was put out as rapping, as hip.
Yeah.
So, like, no one ever. If you were a kid in the tri-state area, you heard it in the parks. You heard it in the playgrounds. But it began in 1972, 73, so it didn't get recorded until 1979. So you count the years in between. It was being done, but never recorded, never played beyond the tri-state. And then
right.
In 1979, a woman that is infamous. Now, this is it. Sylvia Robinson, and I'll say it again, Sylvia Robinson went and she heard it and she said, no one's recording this. She tried to take it to the labels. They wouldn't touch it. She did it herself. So a woman came forth and brought hip-hop to the world.
Yep.
That is tremendous. And again, I want to let everybody know the Sugar Hill Gang will be in Detroit this coming Sunday for Father's Day. What a great gift
that
would be.
Yeah, come on.
7 p.m. Sunday.
I'm ready.
Aretha Franklin Amphitheater. And then here in Marion, May 7th, 2027 at our Great Palace Theater.
Right.
You can get
Absolutely.
Your tickets now. Hen Dog, when you get up there and perform Rapper's Delight, how does the audience react?
Oh, they love it, man. I mean, people that are not standing already, they stand up, and then they come towards the front of the stage. I mean, it's a great feeling, man, because so many people can remember where they were when they first heard that song.
It's, you know what, and let's listen to a little bit of it here on the program this morning. Guys, stay with me, but here's a little bit of that great, great, great song, 47 years ago, Rapper's Delight.
Mm-hmm.
Of that, you got to come to the shows, guys. When you hear that song, what do you think about when you hear that song?
I started dancing already.
yeah, man. I think about Scott. I think about, man, what a genius Sylvia Robinson was, because Wonder Mike, she changed how he really rapped. You know, she made his voice more audience friendly. So it could cross over, you know, from people. It doesn't matter what color you are, it doesn't matter, you know what I mean, where you come from, which country you live in, that it would affect everybody. Everybody just was affected by it, you know what I mean? And I think that was real genius of her, because, you know, not giving any shade to what's going on today, but back then it was just done differently. It was all about having a good time, about having a party.
Absolutely. DJ, when you hear that song, what do you think?
It's just motivational, man. As the original song, which was Good Times from Chic, we had
right.
that in 1979 till your feet hurt. I mean,
that's when disco was big. Yeah.
Right. You know, and, you know, as people know, like, we used the break parts to rap over. And that song was already a hot song, and then it just made it crazier.
Took it to another level. Yeah, man.
Now Rodgers, still, when he performs every night, when he goes out as Chic, he does a piece, he does Good Times, and then he finishes it by rapping over it with Rapper's Delight.
That's what he ends with. That's the last song he performs. He ends with that. And another thing too, Scott, to add to it, is just such an iconic record, man, to where is that people never get tired of listening to it, seem like. So it's truly a blessing to keep working as much as we do, and people still want to hear that song.
You know, and I believe, Hen Dog, you were there a few years ago. I think it was 2016, just to show how great this song still has played. You guys did this on The View, and I think all the ladies on The View were up there dancing with you.
Oh, yeah. Yep. The Dynasty was there DJing. Yep. Hey, Whoopi, I had everybody up there dancing with us. Yep.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was one
and
of their...
And this one lady, she knew every word of the song.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a great appearance, and I still think they play that, and it was such fun to see you guys out there doing it. it was a great, great moment. Is there a favorite line or a favorite verse in that song for both of you?
Oh, yeah. For me, so I can see the Knicks play basketball. Go Knicks.
That's a good line today. That's a good line this week. What the name Sugar Hill Gang, where did that come from?
You want to take it down the stairs? I got it.
You can still make it.
Okay, basically, you know, Sylvia is from Manhattan. You know, she's from Harlem. Mm-hmm. So there was a club back in the day called Sugar Hill, and that's what she named Sugar Hill Gang after.
Right, and that also was a part of Harlem.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, like Harlem is where it was birthed. And as far as Sugar Hill, she brought it with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to ask you about this. What is the most memorable thing in all the years you guys have been performing and touring that has happened to you on stage? What's the most memorable thing you can remember? Dynasty, what's your most memorable moment?
Most memorable moment, I would think, is just being on stage with all my brothers when, you know, we lost Hank. And both Henry and I have been blessed to be on stage with the whole group.
And we lost your brother Rob. He was the music director. Because, you know, we play live too, Scott. We all musicians. See, people always interview us and they say, well, who inspired you guys? You know, which rapper inspired you guys? It wasn't no rappers inspiring us. We listened to Ohio Players, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know what I mean? Parliament Funkadelic. Yes. That's who inspired us. So we're all musicians.
Mm. That's for me. Hen Dog, what's your most memorable moment on stage?
I'll have to say Hong Kong, because we played live in Hong Kong, and Brother Mike was on stage with us, and Rob, rest in peace, he was on stage with us, and man, it was fantastic. It was like probably, I'm going to say probably close to 100,000 people out there.
When they screamed, you couldn't hear anymore.
Mm-mm.
It's absolutely tremendous. When you look out into the audience, as far as age, gender, ethnicity, is it just a mixed bag at this point?
Yes, always.
From 8 to 80, and people, which is a blessing, and this for a rap concert is unique. People bring their grandkids, great grandkids, their children that come to our shows. About two shows ago, a lady brought her autistic son to the show. He took his headphones off. He liked the music so much. And then, you know, he was a nonverbal, but he could appreciate what was going on. And the mother brought him to the edge of the stage, and I put my hand out, and he tapped my hand, and the mother said he never touches anyone. And, you know, so it meant the music touched him.
Mm. Yeah, without a doubt, man. I mean, and Scott, I've had many of people come up to us, and they'll say to me, you know, I brought my son or I brought my grandchildren so they can see, you know, this is where rap started. You know what I mean? Because if you ask some of them who don't really do their history, they think, you know, rap came out in the 80s. Or the early 90s.
Yeah, some people think Run DMC were the first.
Right.
That actually came out with it. And, you know, they were part of the movement, but they weren't the first. And the first on record to do it was the Sugar Hill Gang.
Right. And Scott, everybody always say, oh, you guys invented rap. No, Sugar Hill Gang didn't invent it. The rap was invented in the Bronx. But Sugar Hill Gang definitely introduced it to the world.
Yes, Lord.
Well, why do you think it is still so popular today?
I mean, there's nothing to talk about or deflate women or anything. It's about a good time. time. You're having fun, and there's nothing mean-spirited about the record. It's just
right.
Great vibes.
Right.
You know, we've been in countries where they don't speak English, but they can sing every damn word.
Every word. And plus, Scott, when some of these corporations and some of these venues and stuff want to hire us, they trust us because it doesn't matter. We don't have to, you know, change none of our words in the song. We don't have to, you know, nothing needs to be bleeped out or anything like that because, you know, some people are very sensitive about, you know, what they're letting their kids listen to, which is rightfully so.
Well, that's very interesting. I'm interested to get your take on that because a lot of rap music, and by the way, a lot of other music, has become more profane as time has went on. What do you make of the profanity that is in a lot of music now?
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I personally think it's just the times. People are less sensitive than they used to be, and they require more stimulation. And the youth of today, they're just talking about what's happening in their world. I mean, you know, you couldn't say the word, you know, you couldn't say certain words back in the day. You couldn't even curse before. Now it's so normal that it doesn't affect. You know, like you got things, they say different things on TV. You're not affected by it. What you used to say, you know, back in the 70s, if a TV show came on and they said the word, you know, anything that was provocative, everybody was like, oh my God, just call the censors, call it this. We're not sensitive anymore. I mean, to the fact that it's broken down. A woman's body is not described in any beautiful sense anymore. It's all sexual. It's all something to say that's hard and all the rest of that. There's no imagination anymore. It's just, this is what I want to do. That's what I want to do. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's said with, you know, with curse words and all the rest of that. I think that's why people like to come back to the old school, because we're not even saying anything crazy during the show or put your effing hands up or what. No. Hey, put your hands up if we're having a great time. You know, if you want to come to a show, in the words of Melly Mel, if you want a good night, well, we're not talking about shooting, killing, talking about women out of their names and all the rest of that stuff, you could come to a Sugar Hill show, bring your kids, bring your grandkids, and we're going to have a great time. You're going to go home. There's going to be no shooting, no killing. Ain't nobody talking about anything sexual. We're just having a great time.
Yes,
yeah,
that's what it's all about, man. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, Hen Dog, I want you both to answer this question as well. We'll start with you. Most interesting or memorable fan encounter, because your fans must be just tremendous.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
About the coma lady, Diggy.
Yeah, basically, we were on the cruise, and the lady stopped me, and she said, you know, I just want to let you know that we enjoyed it. We saw your show last night. It was incredible. We enjoyed it. She said, can I share a story with you? And I said, sure. She said that her best friend, which is her neighbor, wanted to come, but they couldn't make it this time because her husband had caught COVID, and he was in a coma. And they weren't expecting him to live. He had been in a coma for a couple of weeks, and they said it was nothing else they could do for him, so they don't, just a matter of time, which they were going to have to unplug him from the machine. So then one doctor told her one day while she was in there visiting him, said, why don't you, is it anything that he loves, you know, because, you know, he could still hear. Even though he's in a coma state, your ears, you know, you can still hear. So she went home and got Rapper's Delight, and he came up out of the coma, Scott.
My gosh, what a story.
What a story, exactly.
What a
touches me, man. It touches
time.
Me. I mean, yeah, every time. I mean, Ice Cube even said that, you know, he probably wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for Sugar Hill Gang. He said his uncle played it for him in the car, and that's what turned his life around to rap. And Tupac and Shock G said they went and bought the record, and they must have listened to it over 100 times, trying to be each part. One part, they were Master G. One part, they were Big Bang Hank. One part, they was Wonder Mike. Yes, man. I mean, we get all the stories, beautiful stories. Amazing stories, how the song has changed their lives.
You know, Dynasty, when you hear that a man was brought out of a coma with a song,
yes.
Well, what does that make you think?
It makes me think of the power of music.
Power of music. Yeah,
music,
man.
It has the power to transform, to create, to be something for people, a rock, a steady place. It's something about it, you know, that
yeah.
Whether it was a good night, bad night, what have you, it's a song that takes you to another place. The frequencies, everything about the song is just right in the right pocket. It's a beautiful thing, and then to understand that it translates to all people, like we, you know, Henry was saying, and the gentleman came out of a coma. An autistic boy took his headphones off because, you know, some people with autism, you know, they can't stay on loud noises. The kid took it off because he just stared. You know, it locked him in, and then he was willing to take a chance to touch someone. You know, that's music, man.
It absolutely is. This hour, we're chatting with the legendary Sugar Hill Gang. Don't forget, this coming Sunday, Father's Day, Detroit, Michigan, 7 p.m., the Aretha Franklin Amphitheater. You're not going to want to miss that. And then right here in Marion, May the 7th, 2027, at the Palace Theater, the Sugar Hill Gang will be there, and that is something you're not going to want to miss. Hey, DJ, how did you get your name, DJ T-Dynasty?
Well, T-Dynasty is the name of my family group that I had in house music. Was called the Temple Dynasty. And my first name is Tracy, so he's called me T-Dynasty. It worked, you know. They was already, my nickname is Diamond. There was already a DJ Diamond, so, you know, I referred back to the name. So T-Dynasty kind of fits me, and it works.
How did we get Hen Dog?
Basically, I just think, Scott, basically that people got tired of saying Henry, and they looked and they saw that if I was going to drink anything, it would be Hennessy. So I like dark liquor. So, you know, so they just put the two together and start calling me Hen Dog.
Hey, that's not bad. Do you guys have any regrets when you look back at your career?
None at all, man. Scott, if it's only, but everybody can say this. If it was one thing that I wouldn't want to do anything differently. But the knowledge that I have now, I wish I had it at the age of 25.
Yeah.
That's the only thing, Scott. But you know, everybody can, you know, can contest to that.
I think you're true. Dynasty, do you have any regrets?
No, man. I mean, everything that happened for a reason.
Exactly. No regrets.
No regrets, man. I mean, you know, this every step that we've taken, you know, whether it be recording with the guys, whether it be jam or whatever, and we both, like Henry said, started out as producers. We both produced for different people, so
yeah,
you know. So actually, coming, leaving the desk and coming to perform and all the rest of that stuff, and then solidifying our positions, you know, like over the years, you know, it's been wonderful. And when you look back at it, you're like, well, I could have done this or I could have done that, but look at where we are now. I mean,
right.
And there's no lack of work. In fact, we're
all tired. Yeah. Scott, I can sum it up like this for me. I can, you know, everybody's human at the end of the day, and I could be having the worst day possible, whether I be feeling bad or whether I'm not in a great mood or things happening in my life. But once I get on this stage and I see my brothers by my side, you know, it cures it all, man. Everything goes away. I mean, you don't have to think about nothing but giving the people what they want, and they receive it, and they give you the energy, and by the time you get off the stage, I'm a new man.
Yeah. You know, like, our dressing room is usually quiet. You know, depends on who's in the dressing room. And, you know, we have everything is ritualistic. You know, like, everybody kind of does their own little thing. Just before mm-hmm. stage, we give honor to God.
Yeah, we pray. Yeah.
And the rest is out there. And you yep. feel it. You feel it. Like, people get shocked, and they're like, wow. They go to the corner, and they, you know, give honor, and then go to the stage. You know, like,
yeah, man.
It's it. We give it all up on that stage. And then after that, you know, everybody goes about their business. Go, you know, you want to go hang out in the crowd, go hang out in the crowd. G doesn't really kind of, he's a little shyer than we are. So he prefers to kind of go back to the dressing room or head back. But, you know, once he gives that performance, once he gives you everything and, you know, and takes some pictures with you, he's good. You know, it's a beautiful thing. But Henry and I, you'll see us. So if you come out to the show, we'll be out there. We'll be out there in the audience. So
yeah, taking pictures and stuff like that, because people love that when you can touch, when they can touch you, Scott. It's just a feeling of making them feel, you know, like, yeah, they're one of us. You know what I mean? You know, it's not like, you know, you don't really have to be, you know, each to his own. But we always think that, you know, people appreciate it more if you, you know, like they say, if you mind taking a picture with me, sure. You know, and they'll cherish their picture, man, for life.
Right. So Father's Day, y'all come out to bring your grandkids, bring everybody, bring your mother. Everybody is going to come and take something away from the show.
Absolutely.
So come on out. Let's come on see us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be great there in Detroit, 7 p.m., Aretha Franklin Amphitheater, 7 p.m., the Sugar Hill Gang. Guys, if you could write the future, the rest of your career at this point, how would you write it? We'll start with Dynasty on this one.
Okay. I'm going to write us into the future. I'm going to be like the Rolling Stones. You know, when I'm 80 and 90 years old, I want to command the stage the same way that we're doing now. I want to play us into the future. You know, like some people say that, you know, like when they say goodbye to the greats and you know, they're no longer able to do it, and then they pass on, you know, that legacy, you know, to be able to ride it all the way into the future, all the way until you can't do it anymore, and you go off to meet the great, and that's what I write that in, like the even greater, you know, film, TV, so that it's imprinted in the world right now. But I'm taking it even further. I want to go even further than that, and I want to do one more iconic. One more iconic song that the world will always remember. We've done it twice now, so why not keep it going?
Yeah.
Hen Dog, if you could write the rest of your life, rest of your career, how would you write it?
I would write it as something similar to Dynasty, but my name would be, you know, like he said, we do one more iconic song. We already did one called the La La Song that went number one with Bob Sinclair in 2008, and it went number one over in Europe. They wouldn't put it out over here, but that's a whole nother story. And like, you know, do that, and basically Cleveland, Ohio, hope you're listening. We need to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, yes.
Oh, without question, without question.
Yes,
why do you guys think you're not there?
I think it's politics. That's what I really think. You know, I don't want to go into the nuts and bolts of it, but I think it's politics. It got something to do with politics.
They have some of the memorabilia at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They list us, but we haven't been inducted.
No.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I think it needs to happen. I mean, they've kind of gotten our counterparts from Sugar Hill, which is Flash and the Furious Five.
Yeah.
But they haven't gotten Sugar Hill, and I think actually it's a crime that you could pass over the start of a genre, not just a mediocre start, but a massive fireball.
Hey, it's the biggest genre in the world right now.
Right.
I mean, hip-hop is in our clothes. Hip-hop is in the TV. You can't turn on the TV set without seeing something that involves hip-hop. You can't go to a game without seeing something that involves hip-hop. You can't even buy a car now that haven't been influenced by hip-hop.
Right.
That's true, and that is an absolute injustice as we sit here in Ohio that you guys are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
that's a shame. Well, hopefully it happens very, very, very soon. Now,
I hope they're listening.
We'll send a copy to them if they're not listening. We'll send a copy up there to them. When you guys look back on it, how would you like to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered as one of the artists who definitely made his print in the entertainment industry. I would like to leave my footprint. I would like people to acknowledge that, you know, that I definitely made a footprint in the entertainment industry. Because I felt like, Scott, from the very beginning as a young child, this is what I was born to do.
Dynasty, how would you like to be remembered?
I'm going to echo that. That footprint is so important, you know, that you existed, not only existed, but you flourished in this business. Just as a note to leave off on, Scott, two songs you got to add to your list. You got to add a song called Someone Like You by the Sugar Hill Gang.
Yes.
With Melly Mel.
Yes.
And Scorpio.
Yes.
Someone Like You. We had over, it was a song that we did, and the song was released, but was never pushed, and we had over 7 million views.
No promotion, Scott.
No promotion.
No promotion at all.
And then that La La song, it is still great. It's a great song. It's another
great song.
It's another feel-good song. But the Someone Like You song, that song really never got its light because it stayed on the internet.
Right.
Over 7 million views, they had to do something. So,
right.
We're leaving it with you, baby.
Well, hey.
Without a doubt. And the La La song hit over 20 million views, Scott.
Oh, yeah,
And went number one every time when we go to Europe to perform. You know, it would be ahead of Lady Gaga and Black Eyed Peas. And we hit the number one video.
Yes,
we've got about 8 minutes left. Why is this? Why did this song not come to America the way it should have?
The record label, Scott, the record labels had a different agenda. You know what I mean? They didn't want to promote feel good records. They wanted to promote, you know, different kind of music which had, you know, explicit lyrics in it per se, I'm sure a lot of people know that, you know, they had an investment in these prison camps,
right?
I'm just gonna say it,
right? I mean, if they don't want feel good music all the time. If you look at the music and you listen to different things, you might find one or two records out of the whole pack that actually just have just good positive messages and fun about it. Everything else is how sexy you are, how you move, why would you like to do something to you, or what have you. So having a song called the La La Song, which is just fun, had a sample of Kid Creole and the Coconuts and different things going on in the song. It was really, it's fun.
If you listen, yeah, I mean, we perform it now, and the people love it. You know what I mean?
Right.
They
Now, when you guys hear a song, do you know before the crowd hears it or before anybody else hears it, do you know that it's going to be a hit?
Yeah. Yeah. We have a song that we perform, only perform it because we never, it's never been released.
Right.
Called Club on Rock.
Yep.
It has that Latin feel to it, and we have a good time performing it. And you watch the crowd, they lose it. By the end of the song, they're singing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we it's a song for the stage. We never put it out. But you could tell how people vibe with things just by looking at the crowd. I mean, we perform the Club on Rock song every night we're on stage.
Right.
And it is like one of those things that they love. They can't get enough of it.
Can't get enough of it. They love it. It's in our set, Scott. We perform it every time we do a show, and you know, we keep it in the set because the response is so great.
I do want to remind everybody, we've got about 5 minutes left here, and this has been a lot of fun today. The Sugar Hill Gang will be just up the road here, Detroit, Michigan, this coming Sunday, Father's Day. What a great gift that would be at the Aretha Franklin Amphitheater, 7 p.m. Sunday. Don't miss that for love nor money. Take Dad with you. That'll be a lot of fun. And then right here in Marion, just a little under a year from now, May the 7th, what a springtime gift that will be, 2027, the Sugar Hill Gang at the historic Palace Theater, 1,400 seats, and I'm sure that place will be rocking and rolling on that night. Today, we've been joined by Hen Dog and DJ T Dynasty of the Sugar Hill Gang. Guys, we got about 4.5 minutes left here. Can you give us a little bit of lines here of Rapper's Delight, a little a cappella here?
Okay. Let's see. I say the hip hop. The heavy to the hip, hip hoppy, you don't stop, a rocket to the bang bang, boogie, say up and up, boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat.
Come on.
Now what you hear is not a test, we're rapping to the beat.
Come on.
And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet.
Come on.
And my boy's name is Wonder Mike, and he like to say hello.
Come on.
To the black, red, Mike, green, and brown. Purple and yellow, but first you gotta bang bang to the boogie, say up jump to boogie to the bang bang boogie, let's rock.
Come on.
You don't stop.
Come on.
Teach your body rock.
Make your body rock. Come on now, Detroit, y'all get the rest of that when y'all come on out.
That's right. You got to come out. You got to come out on Sunday there in Detroit. The Motor City will be hopping and rolling and hipping and hopping this coming Sunday. The Sugar Hill Gang at 7 p.m. The Aretha Franklin. Hey, were you guys big fans of Aretha?
Oh, yeah, of course. I can't think of anybody who didn't love Aretha.
Yeah. Listen to you. My favorite cut, and then a lot of people don't know this cut, Aretha did it when she was 18. It's called This Bitter Earth.
What?
You listen to that song, it will transport you to recording days when it was just some violins and string arrangements that are so beautiful that you'll just be quiet the whole song.
And she is one of a kind. Well, you guys have been an absolute pleasure today. It is so great talking with you and what you have done for the music industry and fans all across this world over the last 45 years has been absolutely tremendous. I cannot wait to see you when you come here to Marion in just a little under a year. And who knows, maybe up in Detroit this coming Sunday.
Hey, listen, you're invited now, man.
No, you're invited.
And
come on now.
Yeah, if you ever need an announcer for Rapper's Delight, you know, to bring you out, I'll be there. I'll be available.
No doubt.
So you remember what your task is, right? Someone like you, the Sugar Hill Gang featured, what's the name? And the live song. Let's go, Scott. Let's go, baby.
We're gonna do it. Hen Dog, DJT, Dynasty, the Sugar Hill Gang. Thanks, guys. You have a great weekend.
All right, brother.
Bye-bye.
All right. Peace. Yep. All right.
one of the legendary groups of all time, the Sugar Hill Gang, here on WGH Talk Radio. Don't forget, Father's Day, Detroit, Michigan. It's going to be hipping and hopping right up there in Detroit. You can guarantee that. The Aretha Franklin Amphitheater, Sunday, 7 p.m., and then right here in Marion. Boy, what a springtime gift we're going to have in just about 11 months. May the 7th, 2027, at the Palace Theater. 1,400 seats are going to be going like crazy. You know what? Let's hear a little more this hour before we wrap it up of the great, great song, legendary song number... There it is. You hear it. Rapper's Delight. Let's let that play us out this hour.
But I brought two friends along, and next on the mic is my man Hank. Come on, Hank, sing that song.
Check it out, I'm the C-A-S-N, the O-V-A, and the rest is F-L-Y. You see, I go by the code of the doctor of the mix, and these reasons I'll tell you why. You see, I'm 6'1", and I'm tons of fun, and I dress to a T. You see, I got more clothes than Muhammad Ali, and I dress so viciously. I got bodyguards, I got two big cars that definitely ain't the whack. I got a Lincoln Continental and a some new Cadillac. So after school, I take a dip in the pool, which is really on the wall. I got a color TV so I can see the Knicks play basketball. Hear me talking about checkbook, credit cards, more money than a sucker could ever spend. But I wouldn't give a sucker or a punk from the rock.
We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Into the talking place. Just listen to former star of the Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret.